Hello, Harvest Time. How are we? Are we good? That was some great worship, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Let me just get situated here. You know, the Lord is good to us, but he's also funny sometimes. He has a sense of humor. You know, he's been talking to me a lot about different things recently, and I'm not saying that to boast. It's just the reality of where we're at as a church. The Lord is speaking to more than just me. I mean, you should hear some of the things that are going on in this congregation and regionally and nationally that the Lord is starting to birth scripturally, that is teaching his bride to be ready. It's not just this house. It's not just the house down the road. It's not just a regional house, but it's also a national and a global thing. So if you're hungry for the word, open your word, because he's going to be showing you things. You got to get in. You can't just listen to somebody else teach it, okay? That's just basics number one, okay? The Lord wants to reveal stuff to you, amen? Amen, okay. So I was toiling probably all day and all night about what to speak. And the Lord was showing me different things. And then probably about 4 p.m., just scratch it, do something else. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want? If you're wanting me to do this, what do you want me to speak? And so I'm not going to give this a title, because sometimes when we put titles out there, people are like, oh, I've heard this before. I'm just going to click out. And I'm not going to do that. I think that the Lord wants everybody, those that have ears, let them hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Do you have ears? Is your heart ready? All right. Awesome. Okay. So kind of I'll give you a topic. You know how Erica's been talking about glory recently? Do y'all remember a couple of Wednesday nights ago? Or was it Sunday morning? Glory. Glory Us Exchange. Remember she talked about the glory of God and what that looks like, and exchanging our perspective of who we are and our will of God with the will of God and how he views us, right? Well, the Lord brought to my remembrance while she was speaking, glory follows what? Order. Glory follows, everybody say it, order. And so in order for us to see the full manifestation of the glory of God and his kingdom here on earth, there's an order of how we have to do things. And it's not a religious order like you're thinking. It's not necessarily by works, but there is an order to things in the spirit realm, amen? And so that's kind of what I want to hit on a little bit along with some other topics, but just kind of, It's going to have a lot of scripture. Most of it's going to be scripture and just some thoughts. And it's going to make you ponder a little bit. But tonight, just open your heart. Look at your heart. It's for everybody in this room, not just for certain people. This is for everybody. I think we all fall into this category at times. So open your heart. Look at your heart. When I say some things, don't just write it off. You're like, oh, that's not me. Well, sometimes it can be you. I thought it wasn't me until Pastor rebuked me this week, and then I was like, oh, that's me. So just bear with me. We're going to get into some scripture, okay? All right. So we're going to start in 2 Chronicles 26. Has anybody heard of the story about King Uzziah? Anybody heard of that story? He's not a very popular person that people talk about in the church these days. Has anybody heard of him? Yeah, some couple of you. Okay, a few of you. Okay, so I'm going to actually read the entire story, and we're going to break it down, because I think there's some keys in here that we need to be aware of. Amen? Okay. So, backstory before we start is the king, the father of Uzziah, passed away, and now it's time for another king to reign. And so Uzziah, it says the people chose Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he started to reign in the kingdom, okay? So it says Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecholi, however you say that. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, as did his father, and he sought God throughout the lifetime of Zechariah, who was someone who taught the fear of God. During the time that he sought the Lord, God gave him success. So as long as King Uzziah sought after the things of the Lord blessed him. As long as he understood the fear of God, the Lord, what? Blessed him. So the fear of the Lord, and as long as he sought after the Lord, the Lord would continue to bless him, okay? So then it goes on to say, Uzziah went to wage war against the Palestine. God helped him win against all these nations. His fame spread as far as Egypt, meaning he was a very powerful king. People knew about his name. They said that he built up towers in Jerusalem. He built towers in the desert and dug many, many wells. He was a lover of soil and had farmers and vine dressers in the hill and very fertile lands. He had an army equipped for combat. He made skillful designs and devices, so he invented these devices that made him very popular, not just to his nation, but the nations surrounding him. So this man was very well known. He was a very prestigious king. People loved him. He was famous. What's not to love about a king like that who is victorious and things like that? Amen? Okay, so now we kind of have an understanding a little bit about Uzziah's background, all right? So God, we know God called him, God birthed things out of him, he dug wells, he was a man of creativity. As long as he sought the Lord, he would prosper, all the things, okay? Then it says, so his fame spread even into distant places, for he was wondrously helped until he became strong. Until he became strong, what does that mean? If you keep reading, it says, but when he became strong, he grew arrogant. He grew arrogant. He wasn't always arrogant, but he grew into arrogance. That word arrogance, when you break it down, is entitlement. It's pride. How many of you guys have ever fallen into an entitlement and think that you deserve something because of how hard you've worked or because you've done X, Y, and Z? I think everybody could raise our hands on that. I mean, come on. Like, if we're being honest, like if we're doing an actual heart search, I think we can all say that would have been me. Okay? So he grew arrogant, and it led to his own destruction. Well, how did it lead to his own destruction, right? Okay, so it says, but when he became strong, it led to his own destruction. He acted unfaithfully against the Lord, his God, by going into the Lord's sanctuary to burn incense on the incense altar. If you know anything about the Old Testament, know this. Only the priests were allowed to do the incense. Only the high priests were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Erica's been teaching us on these things. Erica Farquhar has been teaching us a little bit about the altars and how that all operated. Okay, so this isn't a new concept to us. Only the priests, only the tribe of Levi, okay? This particular king was from the tribe of Judah, okay? So it says, he acted unfaithfully against the Lord by going into the Lord's sanctuary to burn incense on the incense altar. He was not called to be a priest. He was called to be a king. Come on, think about it. The Lord had an order of how the temple and things were supposed to work in those days. Now, we don't live by the law. Don't hear what I'm saying. It's not that you can't come in here and worship the Lord and all that stuff. That's all gone. But just for the sake of this, what I'm trying to get across to you, in this time, they could not do that. Only the priest could do that, okay? So when he bypassed the order that the Lord had set, he was no longer right standing with God, but he crossed over into what? Entitlement. I'm king. I can burn the incense. I'm in leadership. I can do this. How many of you have you been in leadership, whether it's the job, whether it's the church, whether it's in your own home? I'm the head of this house. Am I the only one in here? You step over into arrogance and entitlement and out of righteousness. Here's the other thing about this. The priest had a full understanding that if they did something outside of God's perfect way and order, guess what? They knew that the wrath of God would happen. So they had a what? Fear of the Lord. So not only did he step into arrogance, Not only did he step into pride, he stepped out of the fear of the Lord. Come on. How many of us do that? Not that, no, here we're covered by grace. Don't hear what I'm saying, but how many times do we abuse grace and we come in here with sin that is on repeat, and we're continuing this relationship we know that is not supposed to happen, and we're continuing to belittle people, and we're continuing to X, Y, and Z, you insert what you struggle with. How many times do we do that, and we just abuse his grace? And I think what the Lord is really wanting to highlight tonight is that if we are going to go from level to level, depth to depth, glory to glory, then we're going to have to follow order. And it's not the order that you're thinking. It's not the religiousness that the church has taught for years and years and years. And it's also not the grace gospel that the church has taught for years and years and years. There's a balance. It's grace and the fear of the Lord, because when you come into the grace and you understand the cross, you start to understand that the way that I have been living previous to knowing the revelation that God has taught me and knowing what he's done for me, then you no longer want to operate this way, and you come out of condemnation into the revelation of the fear of the Lord, not because it's a religious duty, but because he's given you grace. And why would I ever want to abuse your grace, Father, for what you have gone through? It's a revelation of the cross. And I think that if we can grasp this concept in the church today, then we could see a greater level of glory, which is what is the scripture? Christ, the hope of glory in who? Me. Christ, the hope of glory in me, on display. And if we can actually understand what the Christ, the hope of glory is, glory only follows if you're in order. Christ cannot come and just have mixture. We cannot mix worship and performance. We cannot mix worship and sin. We cannot mix common and holy. We cannot mix the two. Not that you have to live up to a standard that is just never going to be attainable, because God's grace covers that. But we also can't. What did she say? Live a life of consecration. And that's also what we're going to talk tonight about. What does that look like? A lot of us got baptized on Sunday. We came up. What does that look like from here on? Some of us didn't get baptized, but we want to get baptized. We want to know what consecration looks like, but we're a little bit scared because we've been taught that the wrath of God and the fear of God is something that's going to take us out, which, listen, you need to have an understanding of what the fear of God is. But God is also a gracious and loving God. He is. You have to have a balance, okay? Okay, so that's the first point. Fear of the Lord. He stepped outside of the fear of the Lord and into pride, okay? All right. They took their stand. So it says the priests, along with 80 brave other priests of the Lord, went after him. They took their stand against the king Uzziah and said, Uzziah, you have no right to offer incense to the Lord. Only the consecrated priests do. Only the consecrated priests do. There's two things that I feel stand out here. A lot of us in the church, not saying just this church, and not bashing the church, don't hear what I'm not saying. Some of us know righteousness and know the standard that we are called to live by. Some of us have cowered away from running after someone to say, hey, that's not holy. You're not remaining in the fear of the Lord. Warning, warning. We've cowered away from it. And now people think that it's just okay to come up in here and have a mixture of compromise in the church. No, hear what I'm saying. I don't want to puff anybody up. I really want you to hear what I'm saying. We've got churches, and I'm not going to sit here and name names, but we do have churches that are mixing worldly values and views, and there is no separation between what they are doing and what the world is doing, no matter what kind of label they want to slap on it. You can tell an anointed church from a performance church. What's the difference? A consecrated heart. What's the difference? Is your heart consecrated? The lights are great. They're beautiful. And man, can they create an atmosphere? 100%. But when we cross over from consecration into performance or consecration into pride, those lights no longer become a value to us, because what is it doing? It's creating an atmosphere of performance and not of holy worship unto the Lord. It's all the heart. What is your heart behind what you're doing? Nothing is wrong unless you have twisted it into a prideful thing. You know what is anybody hearing me? Okay. So then it says, only the consecrated priest. What does consecrated mean? Can anybody tell me? Set apart. Anybody else? Okay. So consecration means prepared, dedicated, holy, and separated. Prepared, so lack of preparation could not be consecration, because how can we be consecrated if we're not being diligent in studying thyself to show thyself what? Approved. So that's also not consecration if we're not in the Word and studying the Word and learning who God is and the attributes of who God is and the character who of God is. Because if somebody comes in here and says, well, who is God? And you can't answer, you're not really that consecrated. Because consecrated is an attribute of who God is by who he is. So lack of preparation could be not even consecration. Dedicated, are you dedicated to it? Or are you only dedicated when someone comes up and says, oh, the call of God is on your life? Is that the only time you're dedicated to it? Or are you dedicated when you lose your child? Are you dedicated when you get divorced? Are you dedicated when you lose your house? Are you dedicated when you can't pay your bills? What's your dedication level? And don't get me wrong, this is not religiousness. This is, where is your heart at? Are you willing to serve him? Because listen, the world is going to get worse and worse, and the things in our nation are going to get worse and worse. And this is not a dooms and gloom thing. This is just the reality of where we are at in time. And the Lord is trying to equip the saints and equip the bride to be holy, blameless, set apart, consecrated, so that he can raise up a standard again and call people into the kingdom of God, because we're not called to go to heaven. We're called to bring kingdom to the kingdom of heaven to where? Earth. So the goal is not to get to heaven. The goal is to bring heaven here. And so many of us have been taught, okay, I just need to live a good life so that I can get to heaven. No, you need to live a good life, because we are supposed to be representations of the new Jerusalem and the new covenant that God has given to us, because earth can be inhabited by who? Him. It was always designed that way. It was never not designed to be that way. Okay, let me look at my notes. Holy and set apart, pleasing to the Lord. So glory will follow order. Study yourself to show yourself approved. Be consecrated. So then it says, leave the sanctuary, for you have acted unfaithfully. You will no longer receive honor from the Lord. Now, of course, this was under the old law, so it was a little bit stricter. You, if you mess up, guess what? Grace abounds, mercy abounds. Now, I will say that while there is grace, if you continue to live an unrepentant life, at some point, your grace is going to run out. And not many people will preach that to you in the church. But if you look at where we're at in the history of human mankind, where are we? We're in the last days. And at some point, there is an ending to the last days, and we come up into eternity. And eternity is going to determine where you're at. Are you going to be dwelling with the Lord, or are you going to be separated from God? So the grace runs out at some point. Even though the church has been preaching grace on grace on grace, oh, grace will cover that. Well, actually, grace runs out at some point. And he has to sit here and say, but depart from me, I've never known you. You weren't consecrated and you didn't show me that you wanted to spend time with me and know who I was. You didn't prepare yourself. You couldn't explain to a homeless man on the street who I was, that I loved him. Not saying that if you've never led anybody to the Lord, you're not going to heaven, but those are the things that we are supposed to be doing as Christians when we start learning more and more about his character. So then it says, they rushed him out of there. He himself also hurried to get out because the Lord had afflicted him. How did he know the Lord afflicted him? Let's read. It says, Uzziah with a fire pan, but in most translations it'll say censer, which was something that you could use to light the altar, or you could use it to snuff the fire out, depending on how you used it, okay? So in his hand to offer the incense, he was enraged when they came after him. But when he became enraged with the priests in the presence of the priests in the Lord's temple beside the altar of incense, a skin disease broke out on his forehead. In some translations, it says leprosy. Now, if you know what leprosy was, it was an incurable disease that ate the flesh. You stunk. Nobody wanted to be around you. You had to shout, unclean. But one of the things that stood out to me was, why did it break out on his forehead? Why? Because here's the thing. If you think about Nahum, is it Nahum? Nahum had leprosy, but he could cover it up because it wasn't showing. There's going to come a point where your sin can no longer be hidden and your heart condition can no longer be hidden. Have you ever been around people where you're like, I do not want to be like that person? Because that sin started off small and hidden, but then as it festered and it didn't get dealt with, guess what? It became recognizable, not just to a person in leadership, but anybody on the street said, I don't want to be like that person. You couldn't hide it anymore. Your sin, your pride, whatever you want to call it, you couldn't hide it anymore, and it became a flesh issue. And it became a disease. And in these times, there was no cure for leprosy. There was none of that besides the healing power of Jesus. But Jesus wasn't on the earth at their time. And all we saw was when Nahum had to go get dunked in the water 7 times. It's not easy to get rid of leprosy. When it becomes a flesh issue, that means it is rooted to a place where you're going to have to deal with it. Sometimes it's strongholds. There is a very stronghold, like very much of a stronghold, and it's hard to get rid of strongholds sometimes. That's why we say if you get corrected, or if we get corrected by the Lord, or if, say, like Pastor came to me this week, hey, Nina, little, and I'm like, oh, Pastor, I didn't feel that way. Well, then I was like, okay, Lord, my pastor telling me something. What's he telling me? Why is he telling me that for? And then all of a sudden today, hey, don't be Uzziah. Dummy, don't be King Uzziah. I don't want you to be prideful. I don't want you to get into areas where you're going to have to deal with it later on, where your flesh is so strong that you can't get control over it. So then it says, they rushed him out, because at that time leprosy was contagious. Leprosy was contagious. If like spirits attract like spirits, and you have opened yourself up, if you have opened yourself up and gotten yourself into a place like that, when you get surrounded by other people, it is contagious, because that spirit just likes to click on. Oh, you got pride. Oh, you got hurt in this area. Oh, you got church hurt. I'm going to link onto you and make you prideful. Oh, you got unforgiveness in this area. I'm going to link arms with you and make you arrogant and entitled. How many times do we fall into this? So you open yourself up to it, it gets contagious. Here we go. They rushed him out of there. He himself also hurried to get out because the Lord had afflicted him. Pastor said, I wonder how he knew that he needed to get out. Maybe when it hit him in the head, Maybe the fear of the Lord came back on him and he realized, oh no, what have I done? But at that time, they had no grace to just correct what they have chosen. But here, now, if the fear of the Lord smacks us again and shows us and says, hey, wake up, I don't want your eternity to be messed up by this, we now have grace that covers us to say, oh, repent. Okay, here I am, Lord, I'm so sorry. Whereas before, they would either be struck down or they would suffer a major consequence that would cost them their lives. So grace covers that, and thank God for grace. But don't use it as an excuse. It's too holy to be an excuse. So then it says, rushed him out, and the Lord, okay. So then it says, so King Uzziah was diseased to the time of his death. He lived in quarantine with a serious skin disease and was excluded from access to the house of the temple forever. At some point, his grace ran out. Listen, he was called by the Lord. The Lord was on his side. The Lord blessed him. The Lord had him prosper. He was a genius. He led battles. He conquered. Like, he did it all. He had authority. He was in a place of authority. He was the highest in command, but because of his pride and his arrogance, the Lord had to knock him down. His choice caused the Lord to say, you know what? From now on, you're separated from me. I don't know who you are anymore. You've stepped outside of the fear of the Lord. And I just feel like this is a key for this next season because if the Lord does what he continues to do on Sunday, which was, by the way, wow. If you were not moved by what he did on Sunday, heart check. Heart check. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm being sincere about this. Heart check. If there was not something in you that was moved to compassion, that was like, wow, God, you are moving, you are breathing, you are healing, you are delivering. Come on, who are you serving? Do you still need a savior? JD asked the question on Sunday, do you need a savior still? And sometimes I think we need to ask ourselves that because we get high and mighty and think that we don't have to answer to anybody and we don't have to rely on the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about the fear of man. I'm not talking about the fear of the pastor. I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. Because what he did on Sunday was heal, which is what we saw in Acts. What we saw on Sunday was he delivered, which is something we saw in Acts and in the Newer Testaments. And in the Old Testaments, Nahum was healed after seven times. This was what we saw was the character of God for his people. That was the character of who he was for his people. He has called that to be a normal thing in the church, not just a one time on Resurrection Sunday. And I just believe that if we're going to glory, we need to be in order, not religiously, but in order with kingdom mindsets, knowing who God is, not abusing his grace, not mixing holy and common. He is not a common God. He's holy. And we can easily step into, did you see what our church did on Sunday? Did you see how many people we had on Sunday? We had over 100 people. Praise the Lord, that's amazing, and I love that, and I love to see it. But did you see what happened in the water that Jesus did? Did you see what happened in corners all over the room during worship that Jesus was doing? Nobody's touching these people. Nobody's praying over these people, and they're being touched by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not any of us laid hands on those people that were around the room. Now, we did touch people here in the baptismal, but listen, God can use you as vessels. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but it's still nothing that you do. It's everything that he does. Everybody okay? Amen. Everybody okay? It's just some practical things that we need to be considering as we move forward. It's not anything that we're doing. If the Lord continues to bring people, awesome, come. Let them come. if he chooses to keep us at this number and continues to let us to steward the seeds that he has given to us and make sure that our foundation is completely laid out before a great harvest so it doesn't get consumed by fire, awesome. They're all important. All of it's important. That's how I have for you.